And right now it is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpin. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, and also author of Simon Loses His Tummy. Good morning, Dr. Werpin.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
We're taking off as snowbirds later.
Yeah, no,
in a few minutes.
In a very, very few minutes.
That means I'll be down in Florida next week, huh?
That's fine. And the snow dog is coming with us. So.
How long are you staying down there?
Oh, we'll be going back and forth. I have a friend who actually is seriously sick, and so I'm glad that I'll be able to see her. Just learned about this last week. So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's a good reason for going now. And that actually is something that, you know, I experienced last week when we were in Israel, and visited a friend of ours who used to live in the United States, and we've known for decades. And she has an extremely serious case of fibromyalgia, about which I really knew very little, Jill, you know, except that people have pain and, you know, what you see on advertisements for various drugs for it. And what I did not realize was how that disease can take over one's life and literally destroy the quality of life, even if you're, you know, relatively young and had before this lived a vigorous, you know, intellectually and physically vigorous life. We found it's for people who don't know too much about it, including me, but until I started reading about it, you know, it's a disease that really defies understanding. People complain of pain all over their body, in their sort of soft tissue, in their muscle, in their tendons, in their ligaments, in their joints. They have migraines, severe migraines. They can't sleep very well. They have overwhelming fatigue. Some of them have depression, anxiety. They feel they can't think straight. There's something called fibrofog, which means that you just can't summon your mental abilities, even though you want to. And nobody understood what was happening, because when doctors would put these people, you know, patients through a regular checkup and use all the measures, you know, from blood tests to MRIs to see what was causing all this pain and all these other symptoms, they found nothing that they could really put their finger on. And it's thought that maybe the brain somehow is screwed up when sending pain messages to the body, even though there really is no reason for the pain. You know, there's no injury, inflammation, there's no cancer. And so people feel pain, and it sort of wanders all over the body because the brain is sending wrong signals. And that may also actually explain why people sometimes get migraines or they can't sleep. They wake up because they're in pain. Okay, so the problem is that there's nothing really for it. People have tried antidepressants, they've tried exercise, swimming, meditation, but basically people just endure. And what happened to our friend was that she became more and more socially isolated. She was teaching at a university. She retired. Well, she was sort of retirement age anyway. She was doing very active research. She stopped doing the research. She had an enormous group of friends because she lived in this country for years. She stopped seeing her friends because she never knew whether she might be in too much pain, you know, to go to a coffee shop and have a cup of coffee or go to somebody's home for dinner. And when we met, we saw her, we were really worried that she would not actually be able to see us, but what happened, because she'd be in too much distress. But what happened was that even though, you know, we spent the first few minutes talking about her disease, after a few minutes, we just reverted back to the conversational patterns we'd always had with her for years, you know, chit-chat and gossip and political discussions and memories and did you remember who, what. And we noticed that after a few minutes, she just seemed to relax. You know, her body just didn't seem to be showing much pain. And we realized that the conversation we had was so incredibly distracting that she really felt better. It wasn't a drug, you know, it wasn't meditation, but it was simply social contact. And I realized that, you know, we all don't know what to do. We have somebody who's sick, who's in a lot of pain, and we sort of say, oh, we shouldn't go, the people's going to be, you know, they're not going to be able to see us, they're going to be in too much pain, it's going to be too much trouble. But I really think that we should realize how socially isolated people are when they're in pain, and just make ourselves go and see it, even though we might feel uncomfortable, because simply sitting and chatting and gossiping and laughing with somebody really is such a great medicine.
Yes, and I think that it doesn't just apply, P.S., to fibromyalgia. I think that the whole company, you know, just the whole human interaction, and this sounds really trite, but just here's what brings me to this. A, what you're saying, and B, apparently there was some sort of a update on my computer, and
right.
when I came in to turn it on, it asked me if I liked the picture it was showing. And I think that people have just, unfortunately, I mean, unless you are of a certain age, no, even if you are, have become so attuned to interacting with their screens, whether they're yelling
That's
at
right.
the TV or playing with their own, you know, devices, because
yeah.
every grown-up has had a kid who has said, oh, hey, mom, hey, dad, hey, grandma, here's how you get online.
Right.
And I think that it's cut back tremendously, sadly, yeah. on the, you know, things that
yeah.
we absolutely took for granted in terms of human interaction.
You know, Jill, you make a very good point, because how easy is it to say, well, I can't really visit you, but I'll email you. Oh, that costs you nothing. Nothing in time, nothing in empathy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But the interaction is so different.
Yes. Yes. And I think that it gives us a valid excuse for not calling, not coming, not sitting and holding somebody's hand and just hugging that person. Oh, I'll send an email. I'll send a Twitter. You know, I'll put something on Facebook. And, you know, because it's hard. It's hard to go to see somebody who you know is sick and you can't do anything. And you know, for that minute, your life is better than that person's life in terms of pain, because you don't
mm-hmm.
have it and that person does, or that you don't have a terminal disease and that person does at that moment. And so it's so much easier to say, oh, well, I'll send a nice email. And yet we have to make ourselves do it, because the benefit is so great.
For them, and the compassion, and P.S., that reflects back. I'm sorry to sound like a self-help book, but the compassion benefit, really, you know.
Yes, yes.
So.
And you know, a doctor should say to the friends and family of somebody with this disease, visit, you know, come, sit, even if it's for 10 minutes, just break the cycle of the pain and the loneliness. And it's better than the antidepressants. And I just hope that, you know, I myself included, I learned a lot from this visit, because I was really dreading what I was going to say or do because I felt so helpless. I really think that it made me a more compassionate person. And I hope that, you know, what we're talking about now will help other people as well.
And with that being said, thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, Food
okay.
for Food.
Bye-bye.
Have a good flight.
Judy Wortman and Food for Mood here on Robin Hood Radio. You can always hear it at On Demand at robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wortman.